Ready to break free? All right. So whoever the Son sets free, it's free indeed. Free indeed. So we've already been set free, haven't we? Set free from the things that hold us back, hold us down. But sometimes our mind isn't free, is it? Not at all. Our thoughts sometimes, the way we think about ourselves or others, sometimes we need to be set free of those things, aren't we? Or don't we? Yes? Right? Well, how you limit yourself and how you limit God and how you limit others, those are the things I want to help you break free from today. So you ready to break free? All right. Awesome. Because, you know, we are living in a world right now, and we as people that are in this church, some of us are different than other people. I didn't know if you knew that or not. Okay, I'm stating a fact. We're different. And everybody else in the world is different, right? We're all different. We all come from different backgrounds, different faiths, different life experiences, all kinds of different places, events, and all that, right? We came from different walks of life, many of us, right? Right. And yet we're the same, aren't we? Because God created us all, so we started out the same way, didn't we? We started out with God creating us, so we're really the same that way. God created us in God's image and likeness and character, and all of us are the same in that way. And as we've grown up and as we've grown either spiritually or otherwise, and or how things have affected us, determines what we believe to be true about us and other people. And we sometimes don't always accept that other people are different. And we want them to be like us. But of course. Yes, because we're all that. And they're not. That's called division. Seeing people different than us as being wrong or bad. Or evil or all those other kinds of words. Because people may or may not look like us, sound like us, or believe like us, doesn't mean God doesn't love them, does it? So we have to be sure that we understand that we have to break free sometimes from our own thought patterns of who we think we want to accept and love. Just like we want other people to love and accept us, right? Yes, of course. Whether they're like us or not, we want them to like us. That's human nature. What God did through Jesus Christ brought all humanity together. Because all of us, one thing we all have the same in common is that we make mistakes. We call it sinning, right? We all sin. We all fall short of God's great perfection. None of us are perfect. That is where we're the same. One person's sin might be worse than your sin, right? Because then you can say, well, they're worse than me. At least I don't do that. Or they might look at you and say, well, at least you do that, but I don't do that. And you see how you get caught up in that trap? Jesus died for all humanity, for all time, for all kinds of sins. There's no greater or better or worse sin than another. The greatest sin is not to love, I believe, because there's enough places in the Word that tell us, love one another. If you love, in fact, Jesus said it when he was teaching, I got to get to the book of Acts, but when he was teaching the disciples and the people, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, and you love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor yourself, those two commandments, if you do that, you take care of all the others. All the other laws that were ever written, if you love God and others, you're keeping all those commandments. Consequently, you're not sinning. So what do you have to do, church? Love God, love others. Every others? I'm making up a word, every others. Even the ones that are different? Even the ones that don't look like you, sound like you, believe like you, don't have the same sexuality as you, gender as you, size as you, whatever labels you want to put on you and them. Where they come from is different from you. They have a different accent than you do. And they talk funny, some of them. Y'all don't understand. See, you understand how easy it is? Even with dialects, we can sometimes think, oh, that person, I don't know if I want to get near them. See, when the early church began, it began in Jerusalem. It started with the Jewish people. Peter was the first in the book of Acts to preach about God coming and Jesus coming to save all humanity, that there's forgiveness of sins. That's good news this morning. So even though you are a sinner and you are not perfect, you're forgiven. And when other people sin against you, you forgive them. Very nice. That's what love is. Love cannot be such that it doesn't forgive. That goes hand in hand. So that's what Peter preached. And then later on in the book of Acts, he then has an opportunity to learn even more about God. And for us to also learn, who are we to bring to God? Just people like us. I mean, here we sit, it's Pride Month. So therefore, we're going to go to Pride and be with all our pridesters. And we're going to have all kinds of rainbows all over everybody and everywhere. Because some people think that the rainbow people don't fit into God's plan. So we're going to show them otherwise. And we're going to be amongst all of the rainbow people who are just like us. And that's our people. And so that's the ones we're going to bring here, the rainbow people. See how easy it is to fall in a trap? We have to bring God's message to everyone. And yes, it's true that our community, particularly the GLBT community, does need to hear about God's love because too many people say they're not acceptable. So we're going to tell the truth that everyone is acceptable in God's eyes. That's our purpose for going there. It's not just to say we're one of you, therefore we want you. Because we want everybody, right? In the kingdom of God, right? Whosoever believes, right? Okay. Anyway, that's where God was going with this message this morning, because I thought I had a different sermon, and I spent a good portion of my time arguing with God about what the sermon ought to be this morning. For those of you that knew I was running late, that's why. It wasn't just for the hair and makeup. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to preach that. I want people to break free. I want them, you know, there's chain breakers. I want them to come out of prisons. I want to set people free. I mean, Paul was in prison. Peter was in prison. Let's preach about prisons and let's set people free that way. And God's like, no, you're going to preach this. People need to be free inside their mind and in their heart to love everyone and to put aside our differences and to put aside only thinking that we are here to minister to people like us. We're here to preach to all people. All right. And that includes you, by the way. Because sometimes some of you don't think you're worthy of God. That's some of you have a lack of self-esteem or self-worth. And even though we tell you God loves you, you believe it for a short time, but then you realize you're imperfect or whatever somebody else might have told you sticks, lodges in your mind, doesn't it? It becomes a truth for you, doesn't it? Because some people are going to reject you. Did you know that? Anybody ever been rejected? Oh, no, yes. Not a bit. Here's good news. God will never reject you. That enough? I hope. Well, some days, right? Depends how I'm feeling at the time. So I want to help break you free from those limiting thoughts and beliefs that you have even about yourself. Because what you believe about yourself does more harm to you than what somebody else believes about you. If you believe they're mumbo jumbo, then you buy into that lie, don't you? If you believe you're unworthy or aren't good enough and all those kind of things that some of us believe under the surface, then suddenly we can't really love ourselves, can we? Or others. So we have to break free from that concept of who we think we are. Because if the Son set you free from those thoughts of who you are and what you believe to be true for you, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed to be you and to love you. That would be okay. That'd be okay with me and God. Okay? Is it okay with you? All right. Beautiful. The book of Acts, chapter 10. We're going back to Peter. And how this relates to us, of course, because the Word of God always comes and speaks to us. Because, you know, each and every one of us, like it or not, we have to tell the truth that many of us have prejudices. We have preferences. And we have things in our mind, biases of some kind or another. Where they come from, most likely, way back in the past, and sometimes they're being reinforced today, only causes separation and division, and it causes problems. We can see that. But God wants us to be what? Unified, right? Together as one family, one human family, loving each other. Jesus went through an awful lot of hard work to die, to bring us all to God, meaning all to God. So we must do the same as well. And even loving our enemies. Oh, I hate that scripture. Bible says, pray for them. Pray for them. Okay, I pray that they fall off the face of the earth. Oh, no, that's the wrong prayer. Oh, see how I argue with God? Practice what you preach, preacher. Okay, anyway. The book of Acts. I got to get there. Save me, Lord. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius. He was a captain of the Italian regiment. So let me tell you something about this Roman army. The Romans were hated by the Israelites, by the Jews, by the people, right? They hated the Romans. And this man was not only a Roman army officer, he was the captain. And he was the captain of the Italian regiment. The regiment is something that would dole out punishment to others. The Romans were the ones, remember, that flogged and beat Jesus. This Cornelius could have very well have been there to watch that and make sure that Jesus was beaten and crucified. So this man should be hated by Peter, right? And by everyone, right? We hate what's evil and who's evil. He was a devout man. Oh, he was a devout man who feared the God of Israel, as did his entire household. So look what's going on here. What do we see about Cornelius? Just because he's an Italian, just because he's a Roman army officer, one would think if you looked at him and saw his hat and things of this nature, you'd say that man's heart has to be evil, right? But what do we see in the scripture about this man? Just the opposite. He's a devout person who loves God. Huh. Interesting. As did his entire household. He gave generously to charity and was a man who regularly prayed to God. More than likely, he prayed to God to change his heart and for him to be changed and perhaps even stop the violence against the Israelites. He was going against his own military, I'm sure, in his spiritual way. One afternoon, about 3:00, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? You've caught me. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have not gone unnoticed by God." See, Cornelius was a good man, wasn't he? In a bad situation, with a bad profession. But he wanted to be different. How many of us sometimes were in a situation and maybe we continue to do some things, but inside we really want to change, right? We do. We want God to change us, and so we pray for that regularly. Break me free from the things and the habits that I do, God, that are not loving. We pray that prayer, don't we? If I'm judging God, and I know I do from time to time because a man looks like a Roman army officer, I don't want to like him or love him. help change my heart, God. You see, we all need to change, don't we? Yes. So the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to Cornelius. And he says, your prayers and gifts have not gone unnoticed. Now send some men down to Joppa to find a man named Simon Peter. Simon Peter. You know Simon Peter, the great preacher, right? He is staying with Simon, a leather worker who lives near the shore. Ask him to come and visit you. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. So this is somebody else that believes in God, right? So now we've got a whole household, and we've got another soldier that's under this captain's guise, right? Same army, who's also a devout person, right? So even amongst the army people that we sometimes look at and see in the Roman army, they're not all bad, are they? No, just because they wear that uniform doesn't make them bad, does it? Now, the other thing about Cornelius, by the way, he's a Gentile. We're going to learn that in a few, meaning he wasn't a Jewish person. He didn't follow the Jewish laws, so he was different spiritually. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the city, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray. So here's Cornelius' messengers are coming to Peter. Peter's upstairs praying on a flat roof, very common. It was about noon. He was hungry. But while lunch was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." Verse 14. "Never, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never in all my life eaten anything forbidden by our Jewish laws." Thus the argument with God begins. Now you have to understand, I'll teach you something today. The Jewish people had laws, right? Don't eat pork, don't eat, you know, there were lots of laws about what types of foods not to eat. All the Old Testament. The pagans, on the other hand, or Gentiles, or anybody else that weren't Jewish, they ate everything and anything. Much like me today. So, so there was a discrepancy between those. There were dietary laws for the Jewish people to follow for very specific reasons. And it also then became a part of their religion. So therefore, they were not allowed to touch and eat certain foods. So here's Peter, all these various animals, some of which are what we would call not kosher, are coming down, and God's showing them all kinds of animals that some, wait a minute, I see something that I'm not supposed to eat. Why are you showing me that, God? See, God is showing the different animals there. And now what we're seeing is suddenly Peter's getting, wait a minute here, I've always followed the Jewish laws, therefore I will never, ever eat that. And maybe you could look at this and say, well, God was testing Peter to see whether or not he'd eat what wasn't ceremonial, wasn't kosher. Is he going to sin? So we sit back and we wonder, ooh, Peter. The voice spoke again. Here's a problem when you argue with God. God keeps talking. If God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't. If God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't. If God says somebody is acceptable, don't say they're not. Getting the message? If God says you're wonderful, don't tell him you're not. If God says you're beautiful, don't tell him you're not. If God says you're anointed, don't tell God you're not. If God says you're perfect in his sight, don't tell God your imperfections. If God says love everybody, don't say you won't, because they're not acceptable to you. Getting the message? Ready to break free? I think we're getting there. The voice spoke again. If God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't. The same vision was repeated 3 times. Obviously, Peter didn't get it the first time or the second time. It took 3 times to get through his skull to realize that if God says something or someone is acceptable, they are. How many times do we have to tell you that all of humanity, no matter where they are, where they come from, what they've done or haven't done, they're all acceptable to God? How many times? How many times do I have to say it? More than three. And I can and I will. See, I have the gift of stubbornness. Persistence. Persistence, that's what it is, persistence. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean, huh? Just then the men sent by Cornelius found the house and stood outside the gate. They asked if this was the place where Simon Peter was staying. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, see, sometimes when you get caught up in your humanness where you sometimes get upset with somebody who's not like you, or you read a post on Facebook and you go, those people, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, pray for them. If it's within your power to be at peace with someone, be at peace. Find something good to put out there instead of that that's loving. Will they see the light? Not our job to find that out. See, it's more beneficial to your own soul that you love everyone, right? Right? All right. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. 3 men have come looking for you. Go down with them and without hesitation. All is well, for I have sent them. Direct quote from God through the Holy Spirit to Peter. Go meet these guys. So Peter went down. I'm the man you're looking for. Why have you come? We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout man who fears the God of Israel and is well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to send for you so you can go to his house and give him a message. So Peter invited the men to be guests for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some other believers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for him and had called together his relatives and close friends to meet Peter. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell to the floor before him in worship. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up. I'm a human being just like you." So Cornelius got up. They talked together and went inside where the others were assembled. Peter told them, "You know, it is against the Jewish laws for me to come into a Gentile home like this. I'm not supposed to be here. But God has shown me that I should never think of anyone as impure. God has shown me that I should never think of anybody less than me. God has shown me that I should never judge another person who's not like me. God has shown me that I should love everybody, even those that are so hard to love. God has shown me that. That to follow laws of what I eat or don't eat don't matter. It's who I love and how I love that matters to God." So I came as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. Cornelius replied, 4 days ago I was praying in my house at 3 o'clock. Suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, "Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Send some men to Joppa and summon Simon Peter." Now here we are, waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. I have a message. I had a vision. What's my message? What should I tell these guys? Let's see. What should I tell you? What do you suppose was going through Peter's mind? I should tell him about all the Jewish laws. I should tell him he should repent because he's an evil, awful, terrible person. I should say, you're nothing like me, and I'm not so sure I should. I'm not going to stay here for very long. The Holy Spirit speaks through Peter, right? Next verse. You ready for it? Ready to break free? We're getting to you pretty soon. Be careful. I see very clearly that God doesn't show partiality. In every nation. In where? In every nation. In where? Every. Every, all, every. Every, every, every. In every nation. Around the world today, even this very day. In every nation. God accepts those who fear him and do what is right. I'm sure you've heard about the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Lord of. You know what happened all through Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John the Baptist began preaching. And no doubt, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Israel and in Jerusalem. And then he speaks the gospel. They put him to death, but yet he rose from the dead. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere. He ordered us to preach everywhere to everyone. Yes, everybody. Even the rainbow people. And the non-rainbow people, whatever color they are. I don't know. I think they're part of the same. You put all those colors together, you get pure white, the color of light. Right? God is light. Oh, anyway. He is the one all the prophets testify about, saying that everyone who believes in him. So everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. As Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles too. These Jewish leaders still come and they go, what's God doing pouring the Holy Spirit out on the Gentiles? Those pagans, those people that ate everything they possibly could dream of eating and are nothing like us. What's God doing putting the Holy Spirit on them? What's God doing putting the Holy Spirit on you, church? What's God doing putting God's love on everybody? There could be no doubt about it. They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they've received the Holy Spirit just as we did? Can anybody object? Is there anybody in this room that could ever object to any person walking in this church receiving God's love? Is there anybody here that would ever object to that? Is there anybody here in your mind that thinks that person doesn't look like me, sound like me, smell like me, believe like me? Do we sometimes think that if we're going to tell the truth? What are we going to do about it? Did I hear the word change? Yeah. We're living in a world today where there's so much separation and division. So many factions of who's not like who and who hates who and all that nonsense that's going on in our world. It's very prevalent. The enemy is trying to divide and conquer, as the enemy often does, using all kinds of people for that. And so we can take sides, can't we? I'm on this side. This is the good side. I'm with these people because we're right. Ta-da! Them? I don't know about them. Oh, he's. All right. See, he knows what side to be on. But just think about this. If you look at those people there, because they're not like you, and you separate yourself like we've done here with this aisle has a purpose, by the way, so I can walk down it and terrorize the people as I'm preaching to them, and eventually walk to the back and say, come and get a hug, and everything's good again, right? But this aisle serves a purpose only for walking down it. We are one body, one Lord, one people. All of us together. We all must break free of even the things that we've ever believed that people told us about other people because of the way they look, because of their religion, because of where they're from. Wars continue because people choose not to accept and love others. That's the only reason war exists, because I have to prove to you I'm stronger and better than you. And if I defeat you, I get to stay being on top and better. That's not God's way. That is not God's way. So we in the church, this church at least, we've got to expand our mindset. We've got to expand who we bring here. And I know we go to the Rainbow Pride things because that's who part of who we are. I mean, I go to Italian festivals, too, because I like eating Italian food. But I also go to Chinese places, buffets, because I eat a lot of Chinese food. And I go to, you know, like, if you go to Golden... No, don't go to Golden Crown. Oh, can't say that. Can you delete that? I'm not supposed to disparage another place of eating, but it's because I overeat there. But you understand what I'm saying? God showed Peter early on in his ministry that the two that were once apart, now Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Samaritans, you can go through all the old scriptures of all the times when people hated one another for no good reason. God did not want people following ways that were not good and righteous, right? We're not going to go down the road of doing awful things to people, right? We're not going to be people of hate that go do hateful things. Of course not. We pray for those people, their hearts would change. And we bring good into the world to overcome that best we can, right? But I want us all to understand this, first and foremost for yourself, you're acceptable to God. You're acceptable. And you're loved by God. Exactly. You know, now that I'm over here with these people, I like these people a lot better than those people. So now I'm on the right side again. And then, back in the middle, Pastor. That's right. Because, see, listen, if there is a separation, if I can be a bridge, right? If I can help this person love this person, if I'm the mediator between that, that's what Jesus Christ was. You see that? That's who Peter was in his preaching. That's who Paul was. That's who hopefully I am, and we all are. We're bridges. Walls never do anything to bring people together. They separate us. And there's all these mental walls. It doesn't have to just be a other kind of wall out there. Because some of us have walls even between us and other people, or us and God, right? It's time to break free, isn't it? Can you reach? There you go. Very nice. You can move. You could go on that side. It'd be all right, see? So, back to the scriptures. Ah. the last verse when we get there and we can hug appropriately. So Peter gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked Peter to stay with them for several days. And what do you suppose Peter did? He stayed with them. He became a part of them, right? Sometimes the prisons that we have ourselves trapped in are just to keep ourselves safe, but we're still in a prison. God wants us to be set free, open us up to getting into someone else's world and life, and even though they're not like us, we find out really that they are, because God is in them as well. So are you ready to break free? You promise to love everybody? Oh, we could be here a lot longer. That means you have to love me too. The things that have limited you in your concept of who you think you are in God, break free from that. And as the wall breaks down about how you think about you and God, God loves you unconditionally. And once you accept that, then share that same gift with others. You've been given the key, just like Peter, to go out and set people free from their thoughts of not feeling good enough or acceptable to God. That's the message we have for everybody. No matter who they are, that's the message we want you to share. We can all stop arguing with God now, right? We can argue all day long for our limitations if we want to, and you get to keep them. Or you can say, you know, God, stretch my mind, expand my belief system, expand my thoughts of others, that they're just human beings too, that you died for. Help me, God, not see that they're different, but to see how you love them just the same as you love me. And let's bridge the gaps that we have with others and work together as a bridge to bring people to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come get a hug. Or you could hug each other. I mean, kind, you know, join together. That'd be all right. That'd be okay. That'd be all right. Bless you.